Welcome to the podcast Game Changers with Jeff Newkirk, formerly known as Understandable Solutions. I'm your host, Jeff Newkirk. Hey, on the podcast Game Changers with Jeff Newkirk today, I've got special guest, Mr. Brian Hill. So Brian has an incredible journey. He's in the green business now, but to get to this point, he's had a lot of experiences along the way that lend itself perfectly to the Game Changers podcast. Brian, welcome. Great to have you here.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate the opportunity and looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing.
So what we do is I work on business development for two different companies. One is Baytech Works and the other is GBB. The thing I like about
GBB stands for
Green Business Bureau.
Okay.
You know, the funny thing I've learned when you're in this business is everybody wants to use abbreviations, so you have to understand. The one thing I like about what we do, it ties to a higher purpose. And our higher purpose is to find something that's better for the future and creating a better future for our kids. That's what I love about what we do. Mm-hmm. What we actually do, or why we do, but what we actually do is we take new technologies and help them to grow. A lot of it has to be around sustainability and resilience. So we're creating a better future for our businesses.
Now you're throwing out a lot of terms there, sustainability, resilience.
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean?
So sustainability is creating an environment where your business, we'll put business applications, where your environment is, you're conscious of the environment around you, and you're doing practices that help you with the making the environment better, one. But two, it also makes your business more efficient. So we're trying to find ways of anything from new technologies on energy. How can we create a better energy source? Backup power energy.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get to. It's not like you're telling everybody to go put solar panels on their roof, although maybe not a bad thing.
No.
But you're looking to improve the bottom line and help our environment at the same time.
Absolutely, yeah.
And there are a lot of ways to make that happen.
Tons of ways. And what I think one of the missions I have, because GBB gives us the backbone or the platform for a business to understand this is what we can do in our practices, and Baytech Works has the solutions that can help you apply it.
Okay.
So whenever you look at your business and how you can become a better business, this does everything across the board. So if we have both businesses, Baytech Works and Green Business Bureau, if you combine them, you have a platform that will allow you to increase your bottom line and bring on new technologies to help, if you want to, save the planet. Mm-hmm. If you don't, just make your environment around you. But I think most of us have kids, and one of the biggest motivators you have is, what's the future of our kids going to look like?
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of the startup position of where we can make a huge difference on this, and that's the focus of
Yeah, it's like you're on the cusp of something huge.
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely.
Some good, things that, good for you.
Technologies that people may never recognize and practices that people don't understand. So there is an education piece there.
I would think that there's a huge education piece. And there's folks that are like, oh, man, green? Come on. You know, what are you pushing?
Well, and that's the largest discrepancy that we face as a business. There's this, especially in Texas. I love Texas. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of things that I think we can get better at. And one is the understanding of what our environment is like and sustainability. Two is that we tend to move slow because we're good at what we're doing. So it's been working for years. Let's just keep doing it. Mm-hmm. What we're seeing is that the environment, the business environment around us is moving so quickly that if you don't make those changes, you're going to get left behind.
Yeah.
Through the sustainability piece, it keeps you up to date. So part of our education is one of the things that I'm really focused on and would love to do a presentation to anybody, is what true sustainability means, what they think it is. Mm-hmm. There's a huge gap there.
But yeah, I would imagine there's a tremendously huge gap.
A huge gap. And then what's your ROI? Because once you tie that to ROI or profitability, people then understand what sustainability is and the impact that it has on the future of our future generations and the future of your business.
It's all about the money.
It is.
Show me the money. So you have an incredible journey, though. You didn't just wake up in the green business. So tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got here.
I could go on forever. So, you know, I was a 135-pound catcher coming out of high school. So immediately, it didn't matter how fast you were, how hard you threw, they'd look at your weight, much like we're doing with Bryce Young right now for the Texans and mm-hmm. stuff you hear with that. So it created some interesting challenges.
All right, so just I got to stop you there. Not everybody knows who Bryce Young is because we actually have listeners across the pond in England and, you know, throughout the world. So tell us quickly, who's Bryce Young?
So he's a quarterback, number one rated quarterback out of Alabama that is looked to go high in the NFL draft this year.
Yeah.
And one of the knocks, he's great personality, great guy, has all the tools, but one of the knocks is about his size.
Yeah.
So
not a big guy.
He's not
at
all.
But incredibly talented.
Not for NFL. For me, yeah. Yes, he's big.
But. Yeah. Okay. All right. So 135-pound catcher.
Yeah. So it created a lot of different challenges for me. And I had the love of baseball. So I ended up playing, trying out at a D1 school or a major college. Mm-hmm. Didn't make it. Wasn't worried about
it. You're still at 135 pounds?
Still 135 pounds. It was I didn't get to 145 until the next year.
Wow.
I think I graduated college at 155, 165.
Very lean.
Yeah, very much. But the journey took me on two different junior colleges, and it took me to an NAI school, a smaller school in Arkansas. Ended up playing baseball for 4 years, played for a former major league pitcher, so that was a great path.
Cool. Well, who is it?
Mike Marshall.
Okay.
Pitched for the Dodgers, among other teams,
yeah.
And actually hold the record for pitching 108 games in 1 year. Yeah.
Wow.
And he was really one of the guys along the way that helped me to look at life a little differently. Now, I wouldn't agree. I didn't look at life like he did.
Mm-hmm.
I would look at it differently, but he opened my mind to different avenues and ways that I could grow.
Yeah. So that's cool. You're open-minded, wanted to learn some new things.
Yeah. And you know, it was the biggest thing I learned is he was a superstar. But I never looked at – I looked at him like coach, like a normal guy.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout my path, that's kind of how I looked at life. And, you know, it created different challenges. I had a couple of years because of all the moving around. I had a couple more years it took me to graduate because I went through three different majors, as you could imagine. And the last 2 years, I ended up being a college cheerleader. Had no cheerleading in my background.
Wait a minute. You were a catcher turned cheerleader?
That's right.
Okay, that was Mike Marshall influential in that? I mean, expanding your horizons there or what?
So to speak, yes. So I had another year. I had 5 years of eligibility in baseball. Mike Marshall was let go at the end of my fourth year.
Hmm.
So I questioned where I wanted to go, and I had somebody approach me in one of my classes that we were it was a gymnastics class, and I was picking up on stuff.
What was your major?
My major was education.
Okay.
With a minor in biology and physical education.
Okay.
So, all right. Yeah. So we had to take these classes. I chose gymnastics, and she talked to me and said, hey, you should try out for cheerleader. And I went, I'll kind of back off of what I actually told her, but I was like, oh, I don't think so. And she talked me into it. I had another guy talk me into it. I tried to do both at the end of the year. And then I just found that I really loved what I did because the energy of the people around you was different than baseball. Baseball was my love.
Yeah.
But the energy that you had in front of the people, the networking, it was my prerequisite. It was my first introduction to what networking is.
Well, it's not like you're introverted.
I was.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I was afraid to get a date. Are you kidding me? To go up to a girl?
You're a cheerleader.
Yes, but in different social settings, it was a challenge. And it was something that I had to overcome.
Yeah.
And people don't know that because of how I am today.
Yeah.
But no, back in the day.
Well done.
Yeah,
you'd never know. So catcher to cheerleader. What was next?
Catcher to cheerleader. Once I graduated, I stayed in Little Rock, was director of operations of a water park, worked at Chili's, just worked different jobs trying to figure out where I wanted to go. Even worked mortgage loans for 2 months until they said, we'll pay you only commission and I had no commission coming in. I was like, eh, I'm out of here.
Okay.
Then I decided I needed a reset. So I moved back home to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, which is where I grew up. Started looking at different avenues. I went into working in a jewelry store. Wanted to move up to management, I thought.
See, I knew you had. I mean, I knew a little bit about your journey, but man, you got an incredible broad experience.
So the funny thing is, when my roommate had his sister was graduating from LSU in theater, and she was doing sets on movies, and at that time there were several movies that were going on.
Yeah,
I ended.
I was hoping you were going to bring this up.
I ended up being in three different movies as extras, just for fun. It was great. And
I was in movies just for fun.
Just for fun.
Not everybody can say that, Brian.
It was just extras, you know. So you're standing around in a crowd. There were three different movies. The second one I had done, we were done with our set. We actually were dressed up from 1919, and I was done with my scenes that I was in. And so we're sitting in the tent. And this guy comes back, and he's pointing to a bunch of guys stepping out. I'm like, what's going on? So I look at it, and I step out. He points to me as the last guy. Says, you. So he brings us in front of the director.
Like, why you, though? Like,
I have no idea. I'm going to say it's God's intervention, because I was just a normal guy out there, and he pointed to me because I stepped out of the tent, I guess. I have no idea.
All right.
So we're walking to the director, and he explains the scenes. I forgot to cast it. So we're standing there, and the director is he's saying, look, you're standing on top of this truck, and he's talking about what we're supposed to do. And he says, hey, you go first, points at me, and I'm nervous. And so you're standing on top of this truck. You imagine yourself standing on top of this truck, and people are coming off the levee in 1919 after a flood. And I said, I'm yelling this in front of the group and the director. Mm-hmm. And I got so nervous. I said, hard workers needed, strong men needed. And then I said, hard-bodied men needed. Everybody laughed, including the director. It was hilarious. And he came, you know, everybody yelled and stuff. And he came back around, pointed to me and this younger kid wanted to be in acting.
Uh-huh.
We were the last two. He chose me. And he said, you go. I went, okay, perfect. The young guy, I felt bad for him because he was angry. So I had to go get changed, become part of the Actors Guild for that moment. Did my part, went to California to see the opening as a vacation.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And then...
What was the movie? So we can all Google it and see you.
you're going to ask me in the... I forgot it now.
You forgot the movie that you were in? Okay. Yeah. Well...
It'll come to me later.
All right. Try to think of it.
Yeah, I will. So, but we're there in California. We just we stayed there for a week, just did the California, LA stuff. And the night we got there, I noticed that there was a lot of scaffolding, CNN, ESPN, blah, 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 right behind our hotel. So we walk out. And it was night, so nobody was there. And it was right across the place from this courthouse. And we're like, what's going on? So we come back the next morning, we get up and notice it's crowded.
Oh, boy.
We were there when the O.J. civil trial was going on, and we were there when he was convicted.
Oh, man.
Right. We had no idea. But it's a pretty cool experience. It makes a great story.
Yeah. So what was it like? I mean, total mayhem.
It wasn't too bad. There was a lot of people. Once it was over, it got calm because O.J. was gone and the trial was over. So they broke down the scaffolding pretty quick and we're out of there.
Yeah.
And we were enjoying the movie and we went rollerblading and did stuff that we had never done before. So it was nice.
The true LA experience.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So from there, mm-hmm. you went to somewhere along the way, you got into teaching and coaching.
Yeah, because
you're wearing your state championship ring.
Yeah, my roommate decided, I've got a friend. He came in, said, literally, he tried to talk one of us to move into Houston. And neither one of us did. He came back the next week. He said, if one of you guys move, I'll pay for everything. We moved. I ended up saying, okay, I don't have anything to lose. Let me take a chance. So I ended up moving to Houston in early June that year. And he paid until I got a job. And I was trying to do everything to get out of teaching. One of the ladies that was in our group during the summer, we'd go jet skiing and doing things like that. She was an AP and talked me into Marlene Skiba's her name. I actually remember her name.
Okay.
And she talked me into coaching and teaching. So I go into the interview. And
so we have to, Marlene's fault that you got into that. Huh?
No, it's, well, it's funny because she, and you talk about God's path and how it changes. I went in, did the interview, principal mm-hmm. liked me, sat down with the football coach and another coach, and because they had to have a man and a woman that were there, both mm-hmm. of them coaches. And mm-hmm. he asked me to describe the I formation. He asked me to describe different plays. I couldn't draw it.
You couldn't draw the I formation?
Did not.
Coach Hill.
So he did not hire me. So I went to work for Landry's. Worked one day.
The restaurant?
One day, yes. Because I'd worked in the restaurants all my life. So I worked one day and went, I'm out of here. No way. So I called him back the next day. And it was right before school started.
Did you at least in your spare time learn what the I formation was?
I did that year. So the ironic part is they just lost a coach. They hired me on a bit. The guy that I sat in front of the interview with, he and I coached together. We coached 8th grade A team. So we coached together. And by the end of the year, I learned everything. I knew what the I formation was. I knew what the 4-3 defense was.
Thank goodness.
I knew what cover 3, cover 2. I learned all of that. And he and I were best friends all year. Like, I ended up being his assistant, volunteer assistant, as a golf coach that year because we'd go play golf while wow. we were coaching them. So, yeah, it was. It's funny how your path goes. From that, I met my, at that time, would be my wife, and uh-huh. we moved up here to the Woodlands. And you just never know when things happen. I had a similar situation, had an interview. The principal loved us. Would come over to our house, hang out with us and stuff for Montgomery. Mm-hmm. And I go in front of him for an interview. He's like, yes, we'd love to hire you. But at that time, I wanted to do science, 7th grade science, and coach. Coaching, I was fine. Mm-hmm. Coaches loved me. So I had to go in front of this board of teachers that were there. There were 5 teachers in the room that taught science. Mm-hmm. They interviewed me, and I'd never taught science. I'd taught PE the year before.
Did they ask you a question similar to what the I formation is?
No, I was actually good, but there
nothing on the periodic table or anything like that?
Yeah, but that was easy.
Oh, okay.
It's like I knew what, so going back to the, I knew what the I formation, I didn't know how to describe it because I'd never coached it before. This I'd been involved in, it was what I had studied. So I found out later, the principal called me back and said, they don't want to hire you. I went, why?
Wow.
He said, they liked you, but one, you're a coach, and two, you're going to teach science, so they know that's going to take away, and three, you don't have the experience, so they want to look at somebody that has more experience. Like, okay. So I ended up just sending out resumes, wow. got hired at Knox. First interview, he walked in and said, okay.
So that's a school here in the Woodlands.
A school here, a 7th grade school here in the Woodlands. Yeah. Knew nothing about the Woodlands.
Mm-hmm.
Was hired here in, it was 98, started working there. And from there, man, it just took off. We had a former, like that 7th grade year, you knew that group was special. We worked with them from 7th grade on up, and then 2004 was in the state championship game against North Shore.
Mm-hmm.
I call them North Shore Junior College because they were fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But along the way,
they still are, they're a powerhouse, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. And along the way, the amount of people just in that time, you know, Doug Drabeck, a former pitcher, his kids went through. So we got to meet him and hang out with him. We went to different, he invited us as coaches because he appreciated his coaches, understood growing up. He invited us to some of his golf tournaments and things like that. So we met people from golf pros to Bagwell, Biggio. A lot of the guys that played wow. for the Astros, mm-hmm. College guys, and I'm sitting down playing blackjack at the first one, talking to this guy, just having a normal conversation, never really introduced myself, and about 15 minutes in, I introduced myself, and he said, yeah, my name's Ed Jones. Ed Too Tall Jones used to play for the Dallas Cowboys. So he and I are sitting here
oh
playing blackjack
gosh.
Together. So it's one of these things, and I wasn't in awe. It was just a person.
Did he say Ed Too Tall Jones, or did he say Ed Jones?
Ed Jones, Ed oh. Too Tall Jones. Ed Jones, Ed Too Tall Jones. But it's one of those experiences that you don't expect in life. And if I think about the things that I wanted and what led me there, I would have never got what I have because yeah. that eventually led to coaching baseball, which I did my first year there voluntarily mm-hmm. for free. The first 2 years I coached was for free because
mm-hmm.
I loved it so much. But the amount of players that we've had that I've had the privilege to coach, from Danny Amendola, who ended up playing in the NFL.
Yeah, that's a name that you can drop often.
Well, and Paul Goldschmidt, who plays for the St. Louis Cardinals now, was the NL MVP last year. Mm-hmm. So those are privileges from the community that we're in, from the path that I thought I was on to the path that God said, no, you're going to be on this path. Those are the things that I get to share with my kids and share with other people along that path. And the amount of people that I've met from there, like right now, just to kind of continue on, I had a guy that approached me, and Jim Tassone approached me in 2021. We ended up talking about the business we're currently running.
Mm-hmm.
I risked everything, and I still am, to make this business because I believe in it. It has a greater purpose. But my kids are my inspiration. So being able to do something for them, for their future, is the why or the purpose of why I'm doing what I do.
So you left teaching and coaching, mm-hmm. which is something that you really loved, and now are involved in this business that could really change things dramatically. But it's really because you want a better world for our young people.
Correct. And I left in 2000. To be clear, I left in 2017 and worked for Gordon Foods. Love the company. Great company. Ran really well. It is the restaurant business. Mm-hmm. So the stress started getting to me. So when Jim approached me, it was right. And honestly, the other part is I did need to – I saw a chance. And I saw another example that I could be for my kids. So if I can make this work, or I believe in something, so I took a chance in it, and I'm going to put everything I have, whether it works or not.
Yeah.
And I want them to be able to see this is the path that you can take, and it's okay to take a chance. And even if you lose, there's something in there that you are supposed to learn. Because a dead end doesn't mean a dead end. It just means it's time to turn and take the path
Absolutely.
That God has for you.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so often we reach that dead end that we think is a dead end, and we say, okay, I guess game over. And then we just kind of quit, you know, put our head in the sand and let life pass us by. And that is not at all what is supposed to happen or what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. When life throws us those challenges, plow right through them, you know? I mean, we get challenges every day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're big, sometimes they're small. But no matter what, you've got to persevere through it. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, you're not going to be living your life's purpose. And I really get the feeling from listening to you, and you know, I've known you for a little while now, you're passionate about what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And you know, at first I was like, wow, you were a coach in this, you know, these guys that you coached, and you're a state champion, and now you're doing this? I mean, that doesn't make sense. But it makes total sense because you are living your life's purpose, mm-hmm. and that is awesome. That's inspirational for everybody
Thank
to
you.
Hear. So along the way, and let me say, that's going to change the game.
Uh-huh.
What you're doing is going to be a huge game changer for our world, not just our community. So I hope it happens.
Me too. Thanks.
I said that word hope. I hate to use that word hope. It will happen. It will happen. So in your life, your journey, or even today, who's been the game changer for you?
Man, there's been so many people along the way. You know, Coach Eastman gave me a chance to coach with baseball. You know, those are personal. I look at Michael Jordan. The one, I remember watching his documentary. I never wore my state championship ring. But I remember watching his documentary and understanding what he had an idea what failure was. And watching it, I decided I'm going to put on my ring and start wearing it. I was in sales at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I put it on because I remember what those guys did, mm-hmm. the kids we coached.
Yeah.
What they did day in, day out to get those state championships, we were deep in the playoffs every year because of their effort.
Mm-hmm.
So the 2006 team was my team that I loved and I grew up with, so I saw a lot of them. And to be able to wear that ring, I put it on to remind me that every day, no matter what happens, there's an end product in your work and somewhere, but you have to put the work in first. But really, the ones that inspire me are my kids. Because I look at them every day, and I get up for them every day, not to my goal is to be one, a great example for them. Mm-hmm. Business, dad, everything. Mm-hmm. Two, I want them
And by the way, they hang on to every single thing that you do, every word that you say, even if you don't think so, they do. So the fact that you recognize how important that is, good for you, because it is.
I think those are the ones that inspire me because, you know, if I'm being honest, through a lot of the challenges, I went through a divorce in 2014, 2015, which could have destroyed me. Instead, I ended up losing healthy weight. I found God. Mm-hmm. I found a different relationship with my kids, and I look at life differently. I don't look at it, let me rephrase that. I look at it as an opportunity. It was a change in my path, mm-hmm. and I could have just beat myself up over it. But all it was a hurdle that I had to learn how to overcome. It's just like I'm coaching kids. Mm-hmm. It's you don't know how to do this until you start trying, and
right.
you're going to fail. You're going to hit parts that are hard. It's supposed to be.
Yeah,
that's the
learning
opportunity.
Failure's okay because that's how we learn.
Correct.
And we can't live in the past and dwell on what's happened. Because then we'll never be able to move forward.
You can't change it. It happened.
You can't change it.
There's nothing you can do. All you can do is look forward and make a change. And that was the inspiration for my kids. That's what I want to be and want them to do. There's no guarantee.
No guarantees anywhere mm-hmm. in life. But what we can do is put forth relentless effort to live our life's purpose so we can change the game, make a difference, and I see that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
So good for you. And where do you see the green business going? I mean, what's like a year from now, 2 years from now, you know, is it going to explode within the next year or 5 years or what do you think?
Right. You know, I field a lot of calls from all over the world as part of the Green Business Bureau. And what we're seeing
now, that's cool.
Yes.
From all over the world.
From all over the world. I have a contact that I sent some information to from Australia.
Wow.
I had a conversation late last week with a gentleman that was in Scotland.
So do you think that, I'm going off on a mini tangent here, mm-hmm. but people from outside of Texas, outside of the United States, are more receptive?
Yes.
You're shaking your head. Yes.
So positive. Yes. Canada does a really good job. I've had a lot of conversations with people in Canada.
Yeah.
A lot of productive conversations with people that are in Norway, UK. We get quite a few from the Asia area. It's a lot more difficult to have conversations with them. I think it's because of the flip of the time mm-hmm. And the translations of our languages. But there's a lot of information on the web about us that people do use. So, yes, outside the U.S., they're more advanced than we are. We have a lot of growth potential, and we have to change some mindsets to better understand what that means. But once people start understanding, whoa, hold on. You mean I can benefit? This is not about environmentalist or you know, something that's a negative culture, it has a positive connotation if you let it.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are conditioned to think of regulations because of what California and what they see is going on in California.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's some really bad legislation and regulations that are in California.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have the same if we don't make our own change. Right now, we have the choice, especially in Texas. And there's a lot of innovation in Texas that people don't understand
mm-hmm.
that could help and that could make a difference in the future. So where do I see this going? I see that up to one, our businesses and our community, but I think it could make a huge difference if people will open their minds and go, let me truly look at this. And I'm getting that in the U.S., but I'm not getting the people. I'm not seeing people that are quite finishing. I don't know that they believe in it enough to get over the hump and go, let me commit and see what happens. In other words, it's like we look at our businesses. Many people are so wrapped up in their business, they're mm-hmm. working in their business instead of on
their business, right?
Yeah.
So they're farther advanced, further down the road, if you will, mm-hmm. outside of the U.S. Interesting, but we have the capability here to make it happen. We just need to accept it.
Correct. And the trend is going that way. If you look, there's a lot more companies and a lot of businesses that are coming to the U.S. Imagine we've got one company that went out, that's a U.S. company, mm-hmm. went outside the U.S., worked there for about 12 years to develop their product, improve their product, because one, it was cheaper to build out there. Mm-hmm. Two, there wasn't that belief here. They just came back, opened their plant recently. The cool part is here on the coast of Texas, they have a building that is mold resistant, fire resistant, earthquake, which we don't worry about, but earthquake resistant, but hurricane resistant. Imagine it going through a Category 5 hurricane.
Mold and hurricane is a big deal here.
Correct.
Doesn't take any time at all to get some mold growing.
That's correct. So being able to find people that are interested and connect them and make that business deal, mm-hmm. so that we can get them here to Texas is slow. We move too slow in what we do. And look, I can get better at explaining it just as other people can. But these are opportunities, if we would just look into, these are the things that we can change, and mm-hmm. it's out there. So we're looking at a resilient business. We're looking at something that's eco-friendly and something that, I mean, think about when a hurricane comes through. If you have a building standing versus one that's gone, one, you have to rebuild that building.
Oh, for sure.
Two, yeah. But where does all the trash go?
Yeah.
It goes into our oceans. So constantly it goes into our land, and it's washed all the oil, the gas, everything from your generators to, if you have an oil pump, goes into our environment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 54. I'll be long gone before I see the damages. But my future generations, they will see everything that we've done. So
absolutely,
being able to make those changes is where we're at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Good for you. Good for you for what you're doing and changing the game. So what would be your suggestion for others who they want to become game changers? They want to make a difference in their community, mm-hmm. and, you know, take on that mindset that you have. So what would be your suggestions for those folks?
Right. Great. Great question. I think there's three things. One, I think you have to take a chance. You have to find something you believe in and take a chance, which leads me to number two, which is probably the biggest, is why. What is your why? Mm-hmm. What is your purpose? We've become involved in this group called Cup of Joey.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it's called Cup of Joey, the why at the end, is because our networking events are about who you are and why you do,
mm-hmm.
instead of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Once everybody does, there's a lot of insurance people that sell. But mm-hmm. why do you buy from a guy or a person that sells insurance? Because generally somebody you know or somebody you trust.
Referral, you like them. Yeah. Correct. It's know, like, and trust.
Right. Yeah. So if we get deeper into a why, and then when we meet people on their purpose, then we're more likely to do business because we're on the same, or at least you know who your people are and who your people aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of, it backs out of that. And three, I think it's just perseverance. You have to understand that you're going to face challenges. Those challenges you can look at as in a negative mindset or a positive mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Is it an opportunity for me to learn? What am I supposed to move on? Or do I beat myself up because I made that mistake?
Man, great advice.
Yeah.
Great advice. And out of those three, man, I don't know that there's one that's more or less important than the other. They're all super important. They have to exist. And, you know, perseverance, wrapping it up with that is, I mean, that's the only way we can make a difference, mm-hmm. because we'll be challenged all the time, every day. And we can always, as we've said already, can throw in the towel and, you know, say, well, I tried, guess we're done. But if you want to make it happen, you've got to persevere through it. So, awesome. Very good. Quick transition, since you're a baseball guy, we're coming on baseball season. What do you think of the Astros this year?
Same thing I thought of them last year and the year before. I mean, I've been an Astros fan since I was a kid, since I could watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
I would plan my Saturdays, because back then you didn't see them all the time. If the Astros were on Saturday, I'd plan my Saturday playtime around the Astros.
Really?
So I still think the same, but I would sit, my mom would go in shopping at to buy clothing stuff or whatever she needed, and I would sit in the car and listen to the Saints or the Astros depending on the season.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I still think the same thing. I think they're going to be good.
Yeah,
I think they have a lot of potential.
Even without Verlander?
I think so, yeah.
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 I think he's going to, that's a big loss. You know, he was good.
Well, if you remember, we had Correa last year, or two years ago. He left, and then here we go, Jeremy Peña. So it's going to have to be the same situation. And I think we've built, as an Astros fan, we've built enough trust in them to understand, hey, they have an idea. Let's trust them. Let's see what happens.
So what's interesting about the Astros now, and they are a great team. Mm-hmm. I love going to Astros games. It's a great park. I mean, Minute Maid is a great facility. But Dusty Baker, who's the manager, right? So I grew up in the Chicago area, and I'm one of the few that I like the Cubs and the Sox. I mean, you're typically not supposed to like both. You either like the Cubs or the Sox.
But, right, right.
But my best friend was a Cubs fan. But my dad was a Sox fan, and we went to Sox games all the time. So so I was both. But the Cubs had Dusty Baker as a manager.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was not successful. Not because of Dusty Baker.
Uh-huh.
It's the organization. And it can make all the difference in the world. You put all the pieces, the right pieces in place, and you can have a winner. And because I think he's a good manager. And I'm happy that he's getting the success that he's worked for and deserves. Yeah. So
he understands the ball players. A quick tie-in. Do you know who Dusty Baker played with? The guy that coach that we talked about earlier, Mike Marshall.
Mike Marshall.
They both played for the Dodgers at the same time.
Okay. Wow. Awesome. Yeah, Dusty Baker's now like, he's in his 70s, right? But you never know it.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah. Well, I'll look forward to another good season in baseball here in the Houston area.
Right.
So, Brian, how do people learn about you, get in touch with you if they want to learn more about the green business, and where do they go for that information?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So a couple different ways. Of course, we have the Green Business Bureau website. We're becoming one of the leaders of sustainability practices in a program. It's a SAS program that helps with helps really program management of what your sustainability program would look like. You have to still do it. Mm-hmm. We have the programs. And we're on web. You can find us easily. As far as Baytech works, same thing. The easiest way to get in touch with me is through LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Hill on LinkedIn. Send me a message. I'd love to connect with anybody, whether we're talking baseball, management. It doesn't matter. Anybody that we can, I think you talk about building a network. I never thought I'd be a guy on LinkedIn. I started out with 180 about this time last year. Started out with about 180, almost 200 connections, and by the end of this week, I'll have 1,000. And these are people,
good
I've turned down people.
Yeah.
These are people that I think there's a connection or a meet person. Yeah.
Awesome.
LinkedIn
awesome.
Is the best way. Otherwise, can I give out my email address?
Your call. I mean, I want people to get in touch with you.
Yeah. For Green Business Bureau, it's Brian, Bryan, dot H-I-L-L at greenbusinessbureau.com. And I can funnel anything from Baytech Works to Cup of Joey to, of course, our GBB platform. We can talk about it, whatever you like. Anything that I can do to help people, that's what I'm here for.
Awesome. You have an incredible story, and I'm glad that you came on to talk about it. And I think you're gonna change some things up with GBB. So good luck to you, and I hope the very best for that business and for you and your family. So thanks.
Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity.
For sure. You know, every episode, I have a game changer. You know, that somebody who's done something in our world or community that has made a difference. Do you have any, like, game changers over the last week or two or that you see that somebody has made a difference in our world or community?
You know, there's so many to choose from. Who do I know? I come across so many people that make a difference in what they do. Man, as far as a game changer, just somebody that's made a difference in our community?
Yeah, so I'm going to – no, anywhere in the world. So I'll give you mine for this past week.
Please.
I grew up in the Chicago area. I grew up a Chicago Blackhawks fan, hockey. So we don't see much hockey down here in the Houston area. I think there is a hockey team, but they don't get much press. But I was a big Blackhawks fan. And over the last couple weeks, one of their biggest stars was traded, Patrick Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Kane came to the Blackhawks in 2007 and played for the Hawks for 16 years, and that's really unusual. But he has been named one of the top 100 greatest players in NHL history, and the Blackhawks went on a huge drought. I mean, they were brutal in the 70s and 80s, 90s, and they, in fact, Sports Illustrated ranked them as one of the worst franchises in all of sport because they were so bad. But Patrick Kane came in, and they won the Stanley Cup in 2010, 2013, and 2015. And it wasn't just him, but he was a big influencer on that team, and he changed the way Chicagoans looked at hockey again. Mm-hmm. And he's my game changer, Patrick Kane.
Got it. You know, gosh, there's so many. I'm going to choose my former player.
Okay.
I had a gentleman by the name of Ryan Flynn,
mm-hmm.
who I had the privilege of teaching football, baseball to, played baseball for us later on, was part of our 2013 state championship team. And now he and I are working to change the world. He started two businesses. One of them is a solar business. The other is an energy business,
mm-hmm.
and it's called Energize. So Energize does energy assessments, but it also connects to a lot of the businesses that we have in some of this energy tech that could be a game changer. And sitting down with him and Billy Whitaker, who's the owner of Bronco Power Boost, we had a long meeting on Saturday. Watching those two go back and forth and seeing the difference that they can make, mm-hmm. to understand that I get to now work with somebody that was in high school and junior high that I taught.
Yeah, that's cool.
Was really cool. And to watch him and how he's grown and how him and Billy went back and forth and were able mm-hmm. to work a deal and talk about, I mean, now there's just so many ideas of how we together can change the game. But if Ryan doesn't, me and Ryan do not have that conversation, he's not inspiring me,
yeah.
we never sit down with Billy and take the next steps.
That's cool.
Yeah.
There's so many people out there that are making a difference. It's important for us to recognize it because we're bombarded with the negative mm-hmm. every day. Just turn on the news.
I don't watch anymore. What?
Yeah, exactly. Well, another great episode of Game Changers. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you liked it, leave a review. If you didn't like it, then just ignore that review button. But I hope you did get something out of today's episode with Mr. Brian Hill. He's an outstanding gentleman. So thanks again, Brian, for being here. And thank you to my sponsor, Outstanding DNA. Outstanding DNA is underwear made with a mission. So these folks make men's underwear and dedicate a portion of their profits to help veterans and first responders suffering from PTSD. So check out Outstanding DNA at OutstandingDNA.com and enter the code SOLUTIONS, that's SOLUTIONS, and get 15% off of your order. So thanks again for tuning in. Appreciate you very much. Today was a great day. Tomorrow's going to be even better. Peace, everyone.